be marked that though, let's say number 326. Let's say number 326.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. What we do is goodwill, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Let us pray. Our great and glorious God and our Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you thankful for another day of life that you've given us and for this time, Father, that you've granted us to be able to come out to study your word. We're also thankful, Father, to be able to be with our brethren, to edify one another, and to hear another message brought from your word to us. Father, we're mindful of all those that are sick, those that are heavy on our minds. We're thankful for the relief that you've given so many, Father, and we pray that you will continue to provide that relief to those that are still ailing at this time. We pray, Father, if it be your will, that you would return them to their much-wanted help. Father, we pray for those that may be traveling away from us. We pray that you would give them safe journey and return them back to us as well. Father, we're as well mindful of those that are away from their families at this time serving in our country's military. Father, especially mindful of Noah as he's across the ocean in another country. Father, we pray that you be with him and protect him and bring him back home safely. Father, we pray for those that represent us in our government. We pray, Father, that they would seek after your wisdom and your knowledge, Father, and that they would do those things, Father, in accordance with your word and your will. Father, we ask that you be the one that will bring us a message this evening. We pray that you give him a ready remembrance of those things that he's prepared and that we will take those things, Father, and apply those truths to our lives. Father, as we go through this time of worship to you, may things we do May they be done in truth and in spirit, giving all honor and glory and praise to you. And above all, Father, we're just so thankful for your love for us, that you would send your only Son to this world, Father, to become our sacrifice on that cruel cross for our sins. And that through his blood we can be redeemed, we can be cleansed of those sins that we've done wrong, Father, and we can have that hope of eternal life when this life is over. And that is our hope and our aim, Father, and our goal. And we pray all these things through the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good evening. A couple months ago, I was going through my cell phone and cleaning out old files, and I came across the fact that Brownlee Reeves had held a series of lessons here having to do with personal work. I think it was either 2016 or 2019. I don't remember which year it was. But in there, I had said to Brownlee, and this is kind of an admission of my guilt, that I would be talking to my neighbor about the gospel. That was on my mind. Now let's go forward to last week. I'm blessed to have a good fig tree in my yard. It's producing quite a bit. I've been studying it for several years now, and I've been marking the branches that have figs on them with some blue tape, and the branches that don't with some orange tape. And I did this because once the leaves fall off and the next spring is coming up, you don't know whether you want to keep some of the branches or throw them away or whatever. And there was one particular branch I've been marking for 2 years on which I had put this orange tape. This year, the base of this branch had even gotten to be about 2.5 inches across. As I took my saw and began to saw off the branch, I was reminded of Jesus' parable, Luke the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 9, which we'll go to later if you want to turn and mark and have that for later. A thought occurred to me, a scary thought, as I kept sawing. What if I am this large, sturdy branches with nothing but pretty leaves and no fruit? So I kept sawing. I went on, cut it off, and I put some stuff on them there to keep rot from getting into the rest of the tree. So in the scripture, we find many stories and parables about using gardening and producing fruit. And analogies for the work that we have to do here on behalf to rescue souls and increase the growth of the Lord's kingdom here on earth. Our God is, as mentioned with other words tonight, an intentional God, purposeful. He acts this way, and if you think about it, it's no accident that man and woman's first location in the Garden of Eden had the assignment to keep the garden and to take care of it, to trim it. Genesis 2:15 was that scripture where it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." In the New Testament, we read of an assignment given to us as Christians directly from Jesus. If you want to turn to John the 15th chapter, John the 15th chapter. We'll go to verses 1 through 8. And you place a mark on this because I'll come back and emphasize certain words later. But right now I'll read through the first 8 verses. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withers." Like this branch that I cut off the fig tree. "And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we as Christians are instructed by Jesus and the Holy Spirit through the inspired writers here in the New Testament to be working on two types of fruit production in our lives. The first type of fruit production is we must work to be people who become more and more spiritually minded and are equipped with the fruit of the Spirit to help us live godly lives on earth. Here are two of the many verses that describe the fruits of the Spirit that we are to bear. Turn, if you wish, to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Fifth chapter of Galatians. We'll start with verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. The next verse, if you want to turn to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 12 of Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, amen, so you must do also. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are to be well known by the people of the world, even. Our kindness and gentleness in our godly behavior, from Matthew, the fifth chapter, where the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in the fifth chapter, verses 14 following, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Also in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. 1 Peter, second chapter, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. The second type of fruit that we need to be producing is that work, like I was falling back on, of going to your neighbor and talking to the people, letting them know about God and our Creator and His Son Jesus in order to produce the fruit of more saved persons coming into the kingdom of our Lord. We must make the effort of teaching others so that they can be saved also. We must let them know who God is and who Jesus is and offer them the chance to become an obedient child of God, just as Rex was saying at the close of the lesson tonight. Our God-given task here on earth is to be a good example as a Christian and to teach others that they can choose to follow Jesus also and that they can have God's blessings here on earth and in eternity with God in heaven after this life. Let's take a look at the work, if you want to. I'll just read this one in 2 Timothy. We'll take a look at the work we're to do as described by these inspired writers of the New Testament. In 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. In 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Paul tells us we are God's fellow workers. We are to do our work of teaching and leave the results in God's hands. The example is Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter. 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verses 6 through 9. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So let's go back to the John chapter 15 that I mentioned earlier. 15th chapter of John. Notice in particular about abiding in him in order to produce fruit. I am the vine and you are the branches. Verse 5. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6 in particular, right now. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Note that Jesus tells us that if we do not produce fruit, we'll be cut off, taken away. If we do not produce fruit, we will be pruned, suffer trials, so that we can produce more fruit even. If we do produce fruit, we still can have suffering. It won't necessarily be a wonderful life all the whole time, but it has wonderful retirement benefits, so to speak. John 15, again, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. The members of the early church in Acts 8 were pruned severely by tests and trials. As a direct result of this persecution, they went everywhere preaching the word. We were studying this last week. Therefore, notice this word therefore in Acts 8, verses 3 through 4. Acts 8, verses 3 through 4. The word therefore, as for Saul, he made havoc on the church, entering into every house and dragging off men, women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So even under persecution, they weren't to sit idle. God is patient. But his patience will come to an end. Have I been marked myself with orange stripes? I don't know. So we need to be patient in teaching others as he is patient. God chooses the time of the end. James, the 5th chapter, verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Let's look at Luke 13, one more chapter, verse 6 through 9 in Luke chapter 13. He also spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But the keeper of the vineyard, answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, cut it down." So for this invitation tonight, I ask you to consider the message and scriptural commands to bear fruit that applies to all of us here today. If you feel that you've been an unproductive branch and would like the prayers of your brothers or sisters to be more Christ-like, you're welcome to make it known now as we offer this invitation. And I also offer this as my need for help to teach others.
Sure, cry in deep despair.
Are there any announcements? And how can the Lord be delivered from this Sunday?
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies and care that you give us. Help us to be more thankful for all the things you do and have done for us. We are very blessed to live where we do and to be able to meet together without persecution. Help us be more aware of others who don't have as much as we do, and let us see opportunities to help them. Increase our faith so we don't fear anything from this world except sin and separation from you. Give us strength to do your work and to stay faithful forever. Help us to keep you first in our minds and hearts, and bless us with your continuing guidance. We ask at this time that you please continue to be with those who are sick, Mr. Christie, Mr. Oglesby, Ms. Beth, and the Kents. Help them all to return to their best health possible. Please be with those who are traveling and help them reach their destination safely. Please continue to be with our military as they are serving our country and help them and help keep them safe. For the greatest blessing of all, thank you for the perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, that through your mercy we can be forgiven and have eternal life in heaven. In his name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.